And we're live, Off-Road Garage Podcast. Jason, here with my good buddy Jim,
as always. How we doing? He just caught me in the middle of my How Now Brown Cow warm-up.
Yeah, warm-up. Stressful when we start these podcasts. About 20 degrees, 30 degrees. It feels probably like 40 degrees. Feels like 20 in the studio tonight.
I think the concrete floor helps.
Yeah, it really helps radiate the coldness through my toes, which is amazing. So, but this is, you know what? This is what we like to do.
I think it'll add to the grittiness of the podcast.
I hope so.
Yeah, the reality of it. We're out here in the garage because the wife and the kids are all in the house.
Absolutely. I don't want to interrupt them.
And it's what? Sports Ball Friday.
Yeah, so they were like just coming home from a high school football game.
Hope their sports ball team won.
Yeah, go sports ball. You can tell where we're at.
Did yours?
Watching the game.
Yours cheer today or the other one?
No, this is high school game.
High school game.
They were all just watching, socializing. You know,
the
things high school kids do.
I was working on dirt bikes in high school.
I was too. I was like, sweet, everyone's occupied. Let's go race things.
That's right.
Yeah, make noise. Make noise and be rowdy. So anyway, so it's cold in here. So that hissing sound you hear in the background, that's a propane heater.
Hopefully, it's not too overwhelming for you.
So if it is, we apologize now. But you know, keeping to true fashion and form.
Yeah, right.
Here we are. In the meantime, our good friend Ken should be almost to Vegas by now.
I mean, you got a great convo with him last episode.
It was great being able to get out there and help him out and then have the time to talk with him.
Yeah, I had to adult. I had a wedding to go to.
I know.
I wanted to go, and I had plans to get out there around 7 in the morning, but after your birthday party, that wasn't happening.
And thank you, everyone, for those birthday wishes and messages. That was amazing. Appreciate it.
So I woke up and you were talking about let's go. I'm like, dude, it's 10 o'clock. It's an hour and a half ride. By the time I get there, I'll be able to turn one.
What did we go to bed like 4:30?
I left here at 4:15 to drive to my house.
Yeah.
So
to bed at 4, would I have to message you at like 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to shoot out there for a little bit, and I think it was a good call because I don't think that would have worked out for your schedule because there was a lot more to do out than.
And it would have been such a rush that I wouldn't have enjoyed the time with Ken or the wedding.
Right.
And the wedding was cool as a guy I worked with. It was, you know, it was nice to be there for him for his big day.
Yeah, absolutely.
He seemed very grateful that I was there, so I know it was good, a big deal.
Wow.
Yeah. I wanted to go touch a SEMA build. Never done that yet.
Right.
But, you know, I got to listen vicariously and see the picture.
I mean,
that's
not to be selfish, but it's kind of like it's fair. You get to go wheeling this year, and I got to go be in the garage.
Right.
It's just fitting.
Right. Where's Jim at? Oh, he's on Drummond. Oh, cool. Jay's at a sports ball game.
Right, yeah. Being miserable. So I got to, yeah. So it was an awesome. Follow Ken. Check him out. Dr. Deathwobble. For sure. Those pictures are going to be awesome. The Pladiator looks
sick.
Amazing. Steer Smart's Inlander.
Going to be sick.
Going to be sick.
I've seen some of the teasers.
And did you see the custom stickers I applied?
I did.
I hope they stay on the rig the whole time.
Look for that in the SEMA photos.
Yeah, if anyone catches that. Or if anyone makes it out to SEMA and snags a picture of it, send it to us. Yeah. I would love to see it.
We'll send you some of your very own.
Yes, we will reward you. So
yeah, man, that looked awesome. The Inlander looks awesome. But the funny part to me is three full-grown men driving the Pladiator from Fowler, Michigan, to Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
It's like the what's that movie?
Oh.
Almost like a pinball run type situation, gumball run.
Yeah.
Like, we got to make it across Vegas, we got a full tank of gas, a pack of Marlboros.
Yes. Yeah, I think that new car smell is going to be gone. He's going to need to buy some fresh air. But
not enough for breeze in the world. Because I saw the one photo.
I know the
chicken.
Yeah, I know that excitement level on the way out there has got to be pretty awesome, though.
So if you're not following Ken, you got to check out his Instagram and look at his stories.
Yes,
because they're so bored right now; they're making up games.
Yeah,
where if you tag him, he's going to sing your Instagram name.
Yeah, absolutely. That's hilarious. So yeah, definitely follow him. But he's giving away awesome giveaways too.
The Midland stuff.
Yeah, he gave away Midland radio today.
Yeah.
Which I think Steer Smarts gave away some stuff too.
Really?
Because he's got Jay from Steer Smarts who's giving away some stuff. So I'm sure they'll be probably doing some stuff throughout the week, whether at SEMA. So I think you guys will be hearing this Monday.
This should come out Monday.
So you guys should have all week at SEMA. Follow Ken, follow his stories, follow Steer Smarts, and check it out.
Yeah, Steer Smarts is out there. That Inlander. I saw the prototype for the big surprise.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be
great.
It's going to be good.
Which, on that note, is it for unofficial use only.
They did
a lot of work on that.
They did, yeah.
And they also did their own little Roxers.
Yeah, Greg at Unofficial did some work on the Inlander. And then if you follow his Instagram, he completely decked out a Roxer. And to me, it looks like, I'm like, that looks good. You know, I like the idea of the Roxer. I'm not opposed to it. I know a lot of, like, there's a little back and forth on,
well,
is it a Jeep,
is
it not a Jeep? Is, yes, absolutely. And I totally get that. I really do. So
the problem that I've got with them on a personal level is I'm going to go spend $20,000 on something and build it, and it's only a Trailer Queen.
Well, they're making them street legal-ish now.
Okay.
But that goes into some ishness, and I don't know that... I don't know that I hold the expertise to go over the legalities of making things ish.
Well, it's so, just like, I mean, you can make a Razor RXR ish. Yeah.
Well, and I think with the Roxer, it's maybe possibly a little bit easier. I've doing some search into the ends of the internets. I did see a couple people like bought like the rusted out CJ.
Okay.
And put the VIN on it. I don't know.
Okay.
I've heard some, this is what you can do. Here's the cheap way, you know, like, you're...
Cheap way now until legality hits you later.
Right, you know. You know, when the bus of penguins, or, you know, the school bus hits you, you know, that's when it all comes to
fruition. Was a great idea for a minute.
Right. Sounds good until you got smoked, so... Anyway, moving on.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this episode.
We had some awesome questions sent to us by Andrew Holmes, if you're listening. That was an awesome list of questions he sent to us. So we're going to try and go over some of them. Just end in our normal ramble session.
He sent us about, a dozen questions, maybe?
Yeah, probably enough for a year's worth of shows if we really dove into each one.
Right, and I'm thinking, I don't want to hit them all like right now because I think we'd miss something important.
I think so.
But some of these are pretty good questions, and especially if you're a new wheeler. I've been in the game like 17, 18 years now.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, I started wheeling at 16. I'm 37, so.
Yeah.
It's a lot, I don't know.
I'm trying to think. I've always played in dirt, but.
Right.
Actual four-wheel drive vehicles? Oh, man. I mean, high school, I had a Bronco. Okay. I take that back. Only one vehicle I've ever owned was two-wheel drive, and that was a Ranger, and I'm pretty sure I four-wheeled the crap out of that.
So if we're going that way, I've never owned a two-wheel drive vehicle.
It's the only one I've owned, and it saw a lot of mud.
Okay.
More than it should have.
I own some not very four-wheel drive vehicles. Like, I had a WK, the first independent front suspension Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
I leased to an 07.
Okay.
Which doesn't really scream like, let's go wheeling.
But nowadays,
You
know, a little more relaxed, a little more reserved, mm-hmm. You know, a little more fine wine and cheese on the beach shore than throttle down and see if we can make it up the hill.
Right, but so I did some rough math. I got about 21 years of wheeling under my belt. You know, and like you said, I grew up in the woods.
Yeah.
So some of these questions, I mean, I guess I'm a seasoned off-roader.
Yeah. So I think you're coming from a level of expertise.
Which is scary to say, because people out there are going to think I'm an expert in something. I'm going to be like, I don't know, bro.
Really not.
So the first question, actually, I think is a good one, because I see this, like, back in, like, growing up, it was on the forums.
Okay.
Like, Quadratrek had a forum where you go and talk about Jeeps.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeeps, Michigan Jeepers had a forum.
The days of the forums.
When you had to run home, and there was no alerts on your phone. You had to get home and see if somebody...
Yeah. I got to check the forums. See if anyone answered my question.
So he asked us, what's an Every Trail mod? What mods?
Yeah, because he was going off the Every Trail Carry episode that we did and said, what's an Every Trail mod? Yeah, so... tires?
So, tires. I'm taking this as a... Right now, for me, I just bought X. Mm-hmm. I just bought X vehicle. It's stock.
Okay.
This is how I'm looking at that question. My vehicle's stock, and I want to go wheeling.
You know, I have the hardest time. My kids ask me these questions, like, Dad, what's your favorite this? And it's always like, I always struggle with this stuff because I always break it down into like a million different categories. I'm like, well, I don't know. What's the scenario?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So for me, that question is, well, are we talking like a high school kid with the 98 XJ?
Right.
Are we talking the, like, I've established in my career, I want to start going like kind of getting outdoorsy and I just bought a 4Runner?
Right.
Like a new one?
Right. And I dropped 60K.
Right, right. Or I decided I'm an off-roader and I just bought, you know, a decked out Rubicon or a Raptor or right. something like that. So to me, there's variables.
Right, for sure.
So what do you think would be the average? You want to do like, let's do the standard, and I'm not, I don't want to like hone in on a specific brand, but let's say Jeep JK.
Okay.
Pretty standard, pretty much, I would say, heavy in the market.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
far
for sure.
as first off-road, you know, we see them on the pages all the time, like, I just got a Jeep, what should I do, what's my first mod?
Right.
So, I think that's probably a good place to start.
And I think it's pretty ubiquitous now, the JK. It's like mm-hmm. you said, it's everywhere. You can get them relatively yeah. inexpensively.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Right. They're getting to that, they're not definitely not getting to the 98 XJ range, but they're getting to the college student to first time homeowner, young adult, right. right? You know, spread your wings. You're not living in mom's basement anymore. It's your first car payment. You want to get outdoor and play with your friends. What's your first go-to?
So for me, if you said, here's 20 grand, 10 grand, go buy yourself a JK.
Okay.
I'm going to go find a JK. Okay, I'm going to look for one Dana 44 rear for sure.
Okay,
I think that's the only way they came.
Yeah.
I don't think you get a Rubicon for 10 grand.
If you can, I don't know that I would recommend.
Right. So ideally, if we're talking 4430.
Okay. All right.
And you said, hey, we're going to go do some wheeling. Now, like you said, I have caveats in my builds.
Yes.
Am I going straight to the hammers?
Right.
Or am I going to go two-tracking? We're in Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know what other folks call it. We call it two-tracking.
Right.
It's when you go in the backwoods and you find a dirt road that's two ruts from right. your tires and then go into the trails.
Like, not like, yeah, there's like woods or grass, dirt, rocks, grass, dirt, yeah. rocks, grass,
yeah.
and woods.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. Definition.
It's so like the ones where I go.
Up
by the cabin, it's dirt on the two tracks where your tires go, yeah. and then grass in the middle.
Yeah.
And it just goes in the woods.
It would probably be very similar out west when we were in Moab. It was like desert color, black tire stripe, yeah. desert color, black tire right. stripe, desert color. So you can relate.
So for me, if you said, hey, we're going to build this rig, we're going to do like a dirt every day, we got 20
yeah.
days to do it.
Okay. And there's been plenty of people who do it.
Right.
You know, I've seen Dirt Every Day's episode, and that's a great show. I do like it. Those guys are awesome. We met them in person.
Yep.
It was awesome. But what would we do?
For me, and my level of knowledge and wheeling and skill, first thing I'm doing is lifting tires. Even like a 2-inch budget boost.
Okay.
Because like the JKs with a 2-inch budget boost, you can clear 35s.
Yes. Yeah, that is the advantage of the JK.
Right.
Which is, almost makes me regret saying that.
If you said XJ, I would still say those in tires, but you can do a relatively.
And you can get to about a 33.
On an XJ?
Yeah, I think so. With a couple inches.
I would say, I had a XJ with 2-inch budget boost on it, running 31s, like 265s.
Which is a good size.
And they rub with a 2-inch.
Okay.
Most of the guys I see on a 33 or
I guess I'm used to
four,
seeing XJs that are already body modded by Michigan.
So. Yeah, so we're talking 4.5 for that. But either way,
okay.
like, if we're
yeah,
talking inexpensive.
I guess you're right. You're right. I take that back.
Inexpensive JK or inexpensive XJ, I would say 2-inch lift, 31s, especially for Michigan. You
yeah.
can get a lot of places on 31s if you know what you're doing.
Yes, I think younger me, for sure, I would have done tires and lift right off of that.
A, you got the aesthetic.
Yeah. Because
you're going for that tough
cool.
look.
Right. And everyone knows what you're up to.
Right.
Everyone's
then,
like, yeah.
B, you do gain the performance of off-road. You lose some performance on-road until you can afford gears.
Right.
And that's the other
and that And that's where I think a lot of people miss the mark on that, is they go straight to the giant tires, and they're like, oh, it's a dog. I lost power. I can't climb anything. And you really limit yourself.
Yeah, because you put 40s on it with 307s.
Yeah. And Man, I remember reading, I forget, I don't want to, like, misquote it, but there was a book I read, because that's how nerdy I was. I was like, it was like a book on four-wheeling. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know?
Right.
And it was like, oh, you know, at the time, it was like a 31-inch tire is perfect. You know, and this was like the going to, you know, trekking through the jungles,
right.
or going across Africa, safari, like, us, like, Land Cruiser kind of deal. And they're like, oh, 31-inch tire is optimal for everything, you
well,
know?
They spell tire with a Y.
Absolutely, yes.
So, that tells you something
when you,
right there.
When you check under the bonnet.
if you look,
British listeners.
I was cleaning out my junk room.
Yeah.
And I found 1997 JPs.
Yes.
1997 four-wheeler.
Yeah.
They're doing the Rubicon, and the monster truck is on 33s or 35s.
Yeah. Well, because like a 35 was a huge tire.
Huge.
Yeah, because then it was either that or it was the 44-inch
gumbo mudder.
Gumbo mudder.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not in a square body Chevy.
Right.
That's the only tire those go on.
So, but you get like, I mean, people
they go on 46.
People forget that you can do a lot of stuff if you know what you're doing on a moderate sized tire.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, my mindset is a rig, since I think Andrew's from Michigan.
Yeah.
A rig that I'm going to build for Michigan to go wheeling with my buddies.
Yeah.
2-inch lift on a JK, or a budget boost on an XJ, or a 2-inch lift on a TJ, the appropriate size tires, between 31s and 35s.
Not too crazy where you're going to lose power
right.
on the gearing.
Because you can even run like a 33 on a JK with a 2-inch lift. It looks pretty well. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You don't lose a lot of power because they come with like a big 31 factory.
Right. A 31 to 33 is not that huge.
Not that huge. And you don't have to gain all the weight because you can do like a 33 1050
yeah.
and keep a lighter tire for that front 30.
Here's the thing that I want to talk about too, though. Speaking of tires, because this is where I see a lot of people, you know, when you can tell, like, oh, that guy doesn't go off-road.
Right.
You know how I can tell? Because you have a 24-inch rim.
Right.
And you have an inch and a half of sidewall.
Right.
Not an off-road tire. I don't care if it's a mud tread.
Yeah.
You don't got sidewall.
No.
So what's your optimum rim size? What do you think? I'd say 17 or 18.
So for me,
seems to be the new high.
I like 15 17s. The problem
15s are so rare now.
That's the problem.
I'm an old school 15 guy myself, but they just can't find them anymore.
I like a 15 inch rim. That's what's on the TJ. I've had good luck with them. But like you said, now it's getting to be when a tire dropped before when I was growing up, it was 15s first.
Yeah.
Now it's 17s first, 18s, 22s, and then 15s.
Right.
But I think realistically right now the best tire rim size is probably 17. Just for versatility. You get...
And even that is almost... I'm saying, like, that's on the fade out right. a little bit when I see some new tires come out on the tire chart. Like you said, it's like it's the last.
Yeah.
So it's almost going to the 18. But I would stay in that range for sure, just for ease of tire selection.
Right. Right. And I think, at least for me, it'd be a 17 because I prefer the more aggressive tires.
Yes.
And they're going to be the ones that I want in the 17s. Most stuff that I would run would be established tire brands.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to run probably a Cam 3.
Right.
Something from Interco. Or maybe a Duratrac.
Right.
You know, and I've heard really good things about the Patagonias. I have no experience with them.
Yes.
But I've run the other three on vehicles, and I've had good luck with them.
Yes.
So that's what I'm going to go to. And they're universal 17-inch sizes.
Right. Yeah, and it's, yeah, you don't want to go to, like, a tire store and not have the one you need.
Which is hard enough on 37s. Probably my JK.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if I get a flat in Roscommon and I go to West,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. If I don't have my fifth, I'm in trouble.
Right.
So for me, back to the question. First thing I'm doing is lifting tires to get myself elevated a little bit. Probably shortly thereafter, if I can afford it, would be a winch.
Yes, I was going to say that. That was my nice thing. That was my first thing is I would do a winch. I would, and a good winch.
Yep. Quality winch.
You can get away with some inexpensive brands. You know. And I've heard good things. I've heard mixed reviews. Depends how much you use it.
Right.
But if you can put the money towards a good one, that's one thing that once you buy that good winch and you put it on there, you don't have to upgrade that again.
No. Because like the one in my TJ, I can rebuild it. It's broken now. It's still broken from Moab.
Yeah.
But I can rebuild it and run it in the JK.
It's
a 9,000 pound winch.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely get the size that fits your needs.
Right.
You know, find the calculations for all that, however much your rig weighs.
I always thought it was like 1.5 times the vehicle.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is.
The 9,000 pound Warren I've got is probably a bit much for the JK, TJ.
You know what? Again, Warren is another brand that I like. You know, I haven't seen, haven't heard too much bad stuff about them. I've used them professionally, seen them off road, obviously. So that's, I think that's a good, one of those brands that's a good investment. And I think I'm actually happy to see that the price point of those is slightly.
They're making a budget line, the VR.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to put a VR on the JK before Drummond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you can have those for around $5
mm-hmm.
before you look at a good Warren winch for $1,000.
But I think there's, their price points to me have really improved. So, you know, like, applause to Warren to really being competitive in that way, because they said they do have the VR, and I want to say there's a middle of, like, between VR and what's their
Xenon
maybe.
Xenons are high dollar ones.
Yeah, yeah. Which is they're all they all seem to be very good quality. And then obviously we've touched on this before, like safety. You know what I mean? Get one with a synthetic line. But be aware that it does trap moisture. You found that out, and that's really what kind of I think definitely didn't help. Yours is the drum rot.
Well, it's that it's my fault.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I can't. It's you can't, something you can fault manufacturers for certain things.
Yes,
neglect is not one of those things.
Absolutely, just like anything else, and that, you know, that's something you need to touch on too. Is just know ahead of the time when you get into this game, there is things you need to do. You know, if you take your everyday driver and go blasting through headlight deep water. Keep in mind that as soon as possible, oils and fluids and things that could possibly have taken on some water need to be checked, changed, addressed.
I feel personally attacked with this.
Yours were good, though.
Yeah,
your oil was clean.
Yeah.
But we checked it.
Yeah,
we did the right thing.
And I changed the rear.
You did it as soon as you could.
Yep. So, because for me, like, I love the idea of having lockers in a vehicle now.
Yeah.
I wheeled without lockers for years. However,
definitely when a winch would be more handy. But yeah.
Exactly, because it seems like lockers, what's the old saying? A winch can get you out of what lockers get you into?
Yeah, yeah, so I think so. Yeah,
you can only go so far with lockers.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get buried.
You feel like you get more stuck?
Oh, yeah. You get stuck way gooder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So much more gooder.
So, I mean, that would be like on the list, lockers, obviously.
Yeah.
And a lot of it depends on what we're doing, where we're going. All that kind of good stuff.
But lockers, to me, fall into that when you're ready to take that re-gearing step.
Right.
When you commit with the small, like, investment. You're right. Do the little budget lift.
Right.
You don't got to go crazy. You know, do some good tires. Don't got to go crazy. Put a winch on it. Can't hurt.
Right.
Can always sell it later. They don't usually lose too much value there, you know, and then go out and see what you like to do.
Right. And so much of it for me is knowing your terrain.
Yes.
Like if you said, hey, I want to build a fiberglass CJ for Silver Lake, the first option I might give you might not be a winch and lockers.
No, absolutely not.
You don't need them.
I need the biggest engine possible.
Big
or
engine,
the
fast tires.
The most horsepower I can.
Right. But if you come at me and say,
and a Dana 30 front, because it doesn't even touch it.
I'm building a all-around wheeler from Michigan.
Yeah.
I think lockers are in the conversation, especially when we start to get snowy and icy.
Selectable. But that's, to me, that goes back to, like, picking your direction.
Yep.
How hard you want to be. You might find that maybe the overlanding side, where it's a little less aggressive wheeling, you still run into some obstacles. It's fun. But, you know, slapping a rooftop tent is your priority. So, you know, you don't want to go super crazy mud truck high.
Right.
And have that.
Same token, though, if I'm putting 300 pounds on my roof, I want better suspension.
You're going to have to upgrade the suspension. But now you know, like, find the direction you want to go.
Right.
You want to go hardcore rock collar, head that direction.
Yep.
You're going to need, like, 40s and wontons and coilovers and Atlas and.
Yeah, for sure.
And LS and. Winch,
get all
and roll
advanced
cage,
adapters and buy all the pieces you need.
And, yes, and
so yeah, like so much it depends on what your plan is. Because after I read the last Trails, you read Trails magazine? Have you got that one yet?
I have not.
I'll bring it over.
Okay.
They did this really cool Subaru build. It's like a cross track or something. I don't know what Subaru.
Yeah.
It's like a station wagon, like all wheel drive station wagon.
Yeah.
And they put 30s on it and a rooftop tent and went and bombed it around the desert.
And for that terrain. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you might have a washout to contend with or some water crossings that might be too much for the vehicle.
Honestly, there's quite a bit of Michigan that you could handle with a Subaru. I mean, there's not much need more than 31s.
Right.
And if you have a winch, then you're that's that added bit of security.
Right.
And like, if you're really venturing out into nowhere land, you know, let someone know, be in contact, look at getting some kind of emergency communications because I don't know the exact stats, but I know there's been a couple people in the past year that have unfortunately lost their lives through various circumstances. Mm-hmm. Basically, getting lost in the woods is what it comes down to.
Well, one of our, me and the wife's adventures, went to a place called Crisp Point Lighthouse.
Okay.
And actually, Paul from Fresh Coast, which is up there as well.
Okay.
As you're taking this very scenic gravel road to the lighthouse,
yeah,
there's a sign on the side of the road that says, on this spot, in X year, Michigan State Police recovered two sisters from Nebraska who were lost for 4 days and got stuck. Oof. They were going to see the lighthouse. They weren't prepared. They had the wrong kind of vehicle.
Right.
They sunk it in the snow. Never made the lighthouse. Never came back home. They got a phone call. They lived off of Cheetos and Thin Mints in the car for like 4 days.
Right.
Wait, while MSP was looking for them.
Right. Yeah. Don't be that.
Don't person. Be that person. But like you said, that's a relatively easy trail in Michigan until there's 4 foot of snow on it.
Yeah, which on the lake can happen pretty quick.
And that's a game changer. You know, that changes. Ooh,
be prepared.
My entire priority list. If you said, hey, we're doing this in a stock Caprice.
Yeah, right. We might need a little more than the Blizzax can handle.
So other than that, like you said, I mean, for me, if you said, hey, we're going to do this, it's going to be a 2-inch lift-ish.
Yeah.
Depending on the vehicle, obviously. Because if you said, hey, it's a taco, you're building a taco, I don't know if suspension's that well in a taco, but I know I want 31-inch tires on it.
Which so, I might even come standard.
Right.
On
so
the
if
TRD
that's,
Pro off road.
Right. Well, we're talking budget bill. I'm
we're
not
talking just regular
TRD off road.
Straight Tacoma.
So you figure, okay, even that, you get a 04 Yoda quad cab Tacoma. And if it's got 31s on it, fine. Try to get a little bit of budget, whatever lift. Old Man Emu.
Well, you know what? It's like if it's already got 31s.
What do you need?
Maybe you already, you know, let's try and find out. And you know what? If this is your direction, I do recommend pre-searching, right? Make sure you can get that bumper that you maybe want to hold that winch.
Right. Yeah, if you have an idea, like I got to have this Fab Four's bumper or this whoever makes Toyota stuff, Calamini.
Right.
I got to have that part.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they don't make it for 06s.
Yeah.
Maybe. Know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because like the wife's got the Colorado.
Okay.
Which is a great little truck for what it is. And I thought the same thing with that. Like, if I were to build this, obviously it's hers. I'm not going to get crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I love the 589 front bumper for it.
Yeah.
Don't know that I need it, but it looks amazing.
You're right.
You know, and then 2-inch lift, it's put a little beef of your tire on it, and it's good to go for what we're going to do in that truck.
Yeah.
I know that's going to be like our back rotor.
Right.
Nothing stupid.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that if I go to Crisp Point and the road's washed out, I can turn around and get home.
Yep.
You know, and that's like you said, knowing what your plan's going to be.
Yeah, and when it comes to tires too, that could easily change. Do you go with the mud terrains or you go with all terrains? If you're daily driving this more often than not, an all terrain might suit you better.
Right. For sure.
And they said, put that winch on the front, and that kind of is the equalizer.
Right. So on the XJ I had, what do I have on? I had BFG ATs, which I liked a lot, and I had Toyos.
Good tire.
Countries on it.
Okay.
Both did very well.
Yeah.
Like you said, I was never running a bogger.
Right.
The truck did very well. On the JK, I just took off my Duratrax and put on KM3s.
Yeah.
So I went from basically an aggressive tweener. It's not really an all-terrain. It's a pretty aggressive tire for an all-terrain.
That's a good, and that's the other thing I like, that the advantages of today is there are a lot of that in-between tire combinations.
Cooper SSTs, the Goodyear Duratrax, even the Patagonia mud tire has got that solid.
And I would say the same thing for the new BFG, that was KN3 that you have.
Yeah.
It's a mud tire, but it's got a little bit of all-terrain highway-esque, you know, influence on it, and it's like, okay.
So as far as mud tires goes, it's the most road-mannered I've driven.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? They obviously designed that tire very well.
And I've had...
Kudos to them.
I had two sets of the original MTs.
Yeah.
I had three sets of KM2s. And this is my first set of KM3s. I've also run two different kinds of swampers. And this is like, so I've never run a Goodyear Dirt or MTR in any configuration.
I had the first MTRs.
Okay.
First gen.
The ones that were on the Hummers back in the day.
No, that's the MTs. Those were cool.
Okay.
I wanted those for my Bronco.
The directional tread ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I really wanted those bad. But no, I had an F-150, 33-inch MTRs.
So like the ones that came on the Rubicon TJ.
Yes, yes. Factory Rubicon tread, right? That was an amazing tire. Okay. I like that tire a lot. It never let me down. It made me look like a hero in my limited slip rear F-150.
And Hammerhead was running them on his Rubicon, too.
Yeah.
Hammerhead had 35s on his Rubicon. Shout out Hammerhead.
Yeah. Actually, I think one of those tires is still kicking around here.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fine.
Somewhere.
Take a picture of it later.
Yeah. So I actually take that back. I've had two sets.
I always dug that tread pattern, and they came out with that in a sticky, too, which seemed like they did really well.
Yeah. That was a good tread pattern. Actually, you know what? I do have limited experience with the newer Goodyear MT, which is like the the Kevlar, which is kind of the cross. You know, it's got like the tighter pack on the inside and an aggressive on the outside. And for the application it's on, I would say it does fairly well.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of overweighted off-road truck.
That's your utility truck. At work,
utility
right?
truck. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, for something like that, it's a lot.
And it's only a 33/1050 tire. It's like the metric.
Well, that's a large vehicle.
It's a large, heavy vehicle.
Yeah, and you go into some unforgiving areas in that particular vehicle.
Yes, but it's got a winch on the front.
Yeah, but still,
so
I mean,
in
order to get your job done, you got to get in without having a winch.
You got to get there, and you got to get out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So, like, I mean, so much of it, and this is like any, we can basically get open.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not even fair. It's such an advantage now. You know what I mean? You can find that 31 to 33 inch tire that covers a lot of the bases. You have so many more winch options now.
Right.
You know, I think when we were, I guess, starting out in the game, right, you had Warren, Ramsey,
Super Winch,
Mile Marker, if you wanted to get crazy and hook it to your power steering pump or something. And now, I mean, you have a lot of budget-friendly. So the market's amazing.
Not knowing, I mean, how many winch manufacturers are there? Does a big name make it for the budget name? You know, because some of the budget names look a lot like the big names.
Yeah, and some of them, I've heard it's overseas manufacturing.
Yep.
Where it's like, okay, we're done making this brand. We're making this brand now, and it's all the same tool.
Change the covers, yeah.
Right, yeah, push the different color on the plastic, or slap a different sticker on it.
So I think realistically, at least in Michigan, with decent sized tires of a decent aggression, like a decent, even a decent all terrain, with some driving and a winch, you can go about anywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to put 14 Pro 6 gravity pods on it from KC. Cool.
It's not going to help you in a mud puddle, it might help you signal for help because I'm pretty sure they can see you from space.
And you'll look amazing.
You really look like you, like, ooh.
I mean, because
it's like when a guy has a mustache or something, you're like, ooh, that guy knows what he's doing.
If you go to our Instagram page, I posted up a throwback a few days ago.
Okay.
Of my TJ.
Yeah?
In 03.
With the KCs?
It's got 4 KC daylighters in front of it with the smiley face covers on it.
You've controlled, yeah.
I'm running 30-inch GSAs with a bumper on it.
Yes.
And I am buried to the frame in snow, having a riot.
Yes. An absolute blast.
Was I unprepared for that trip? Sort of. I had a friend with me. We had recovery gear. We had snacks. We had shovels. It took us 4 hours to go 2 miles, but it was amazing. You know?
Right.
So knowing, and that's how I found out my limitations. That's how I used to find them out. So, I mean, I think that covers, I mean...
Well, so Andrew wrote a lot of questions, and we really appreciate that. It was awesome. We really appreciate the kind of conversation we had via Messenger there. So he initially wrote Every Trail Mod, What's Your First, Starting From Scratch, Cheap Versus Expensive, just Trail Versus Daily, and I think we really just touched on all of that. Except for two things, and I think this is a good one right here. Let's start with what mod or what this off-road mod, I guess you could call that, right? Do you regret the most? Like, what was like, God, that was stupid. Why did I spend that money on that?
I mean, so realistically, I've got several because I've had so many iterations of my vehicles.
It's hard not to.
One of them was the shove-in the spring lift kit, where you shove it in between the springs.
That's
it was basically a lift link kit.
That's pretty genius.
But I was 16, 17. I thought it'd be awesome.
Right.
The fake off-road bumpers. I had there from a brand that is a every 4 year occurrence in a different country, and you compete at different events. I'm not gonna say the name of the brand. I don't want to knock anybody. But it was like a three hoop dealie, and I got in a car accident with it, and it just collapsed. You know, it was, and I don't want to hurt nobody, but it was like done.
Yeah.
You know, and then some of the stuff that I just didn't know any better. Like, I had a really cool rack on the back of the TJ.
Yeah.
That held tools and tires and stuff like that. But it wasn't made for Michigan. And everything started to rust immediately.
Yeah.
And then actually, we were wheeling one day and it fell off. It broke off at the spindle joint.
Man, that's one of those things, too, man. It's like, man, you got to really look into it and see what kind of powder coating it is. Like, check out the reviews.
Right.
Especially if you're in a salty place like us or by the ocean.
And I think, like, at least for the JK, I've gotten smarter, like, in my builds. But, like, skimping on suspension components.
That's what I was going to say.
For the sake of having it done.
Yes, that was going to be kind of my regret, is just, you know, not just do it right the first time. You're just going to regret it later.
Well, this Rancho kit, or this TerraFlex kit's $2,000. I'm going to buy used control arms from Joe and springs from Mark and...
Yeah, I'm going to go on the interwebs, and I'm going to try and find the... Oh, they're rusty, but I can rattle can them, and they'll be fine. Yeah, they work, but the shocks are usually blown out.
Yeah.
Or not spending good money. It's amazing what a quality shock actually does for the overall performance across the board. Not just ride.
Right.
But how it handles going up that rutted, you know, ravine that you're trying to top so you can be king of the mountain.
As far as regrets, I mean, I've got a lot less regrets with the JK.
You've evolved quite a bit.
I've evolved. I've learned. And, you know, like you said, I spent the money right. I've actually became less, I guess, egotistical, where I can actually be like, hey, Jay, have you tried X?
Right.
What do you think? Hey, right. Ken.
What do you know about this?
Kevin from Jeepers Creepers is an awesome guy. Call him and be like, hey, Kevin, I want to try this part out. What do you think? You know, he steered me towards some suspension components that I've been really happy with.
Yeah.
You know, the JKS stuff I've got has been working out great for me.
Yeah.
I ended up going to the Rancho control arms simply because they were adjustable. My JKSs weren't.
Right.
So, like, Kevin
will... And your factory rear ones were blown out.
Yeah. So if you find somebody that you trust, like, I mean, Kevin's been wheeling since well before me.
Ever.
I'm not going to date him. But the same thing is...
Wealth of knowledge.
If you're up north, you talk to Ken. Ken's the same way. You're going up to the guys from Unlimited. Like, most of these people that are in this game will talk to you because we love the game.
Absolutely. And they'll share with you. You just got
to
ask.
You can reach out to us.
Absolutely. We're available. And I think that's going to be the next episode, next week. So, everyone look out for that. I think we will try to kind of do it somewhat. I don't know. Like, we'll kind of record it live. We'll let everyone know. And we'll set something up. Okay. We'll do some Q&A.
That'd be cool.
I think so. Because I like to hear from everyone, what everyone else's opinions are. And if you got something you want to say or want to add, I'm sure we'll be posting this on our Instagram, Off-Road Garage Podcast, Facebook. We have a Twitter, but I'm probably not going to see it. I don't tweet much.
We locked the name down, though.
Yeah, it's there. And eventually, yes, we will be on YouTube. We're working on that currently. Just getting some bugs came worked out. And, you know, I don't know. I'm better on voice.
We both have faces for radio.
Yeah, we have faces for radio. Yeah, you know? Maybe. I don't know. It's weird when you're on camera. It gets weird.
What I do with my hands?
Yeah. I don't know. I've turned into Ricky Bobby. Yeah. I don't know what to do with my hands. So, we'll work on that. Where are we at? We're so good at not doing this. So, all right. So, that takes care of... wants. That was the other part of that question. I don't want to skimp on some of these because they were really good. So thank you again, Andrew. What's your main want besides the KC light bar, Jim?
Oh, that thing is so good though, bro. Have you seen the one on the front of the Platyator?
Yes, I've seen. Yes, I know.
And the one on front of Kate the Jeep.
The Pro 6 light bar is amazing.
Actually,
what? Trucky's it?
Trucky McTruckface.
Trucky McTruckface. Look at it. Find his Instagram. His light covers are amazing. It's the Pac-Man.
Find his Instagram. Tell him we sent you and comment on his light bars.
Yes.
And he's a solid dude.
Yes.
But yeah, the Pac-Man is awesome. So other than that.
Did you see Kate the Jeep is changing?
Took the wrap off.
Took the wrap off.
I'm interested.
I'm very curious. So, yeah. KD Jeep, we're listening. We're following, my man. So, follow, this is another good one to follow on the gram.
So, the current want for, like, for the JK.
Yes.
Before Drummond, I need a winch.
That's almost a need.
Yeah, it's a need. it's a want, it's a need.
Because otherwise, it's going to become a need. I've and at that point, it's past getting.
I've got several other wants for it. Like, I'd like to upgrade my radio to a Midland. I'd like to try one of their 25-watt GMRS deals.
Yeah, I need to upgrade my communications, my comms as
in
well.
In general. I'd like to upgrade... I had it in my mind. I had it in my mind, and it slipped. Oh, one thing I want to try, and I'm not sure how practical it's going to be, is the Goose Gear sleep system for the back of the JK. It makes the back from the seats to the tailgate one flat piece.
Okay.
So when I go solo, I have a camper on wheels at my JK. I can sleep in the JK.
Okay.
It's kind of a want, but I'm also concerned of once the back seats come out, I'm going to have friends that want to go wheeling.
Yeah.
I know how that works.
That's usually how that goes.
But it actually makes it so a 6-foot person can sleep back there. It's kind of a want that I've got.
That pops in and out, right? Or does it take like a modification?
It screws. You got to take the seat physically, take the seat out.
Ooh.
And it uses the factory mounts for it. Truckee's got one in Truckee.
In the FJ?
Frank's got one in the FJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
I love those red rims he did.
Yeah, for sure. Solid.
Frank, you did rad on that. That's so good.
You know, you start getting into the weird stuff. Like, I want rock lights. I want skid plates.
They're nice.
Yeah.
I need some underbody.
What I need and want is to fix that wiring. Because that wiring is a pumpkin spice mess, bro.
Yeah, we need to come up with a cure for that.
And I've been looking at, like, the triggers and the spods and the...
Yeah.
You know, I've got that Daystar panel on the A-pillar. I love it because it's where I need it to be for my hand.
Yeah, it's a really good location.
But with the air or the front Yukon zip, the compressor, and the light bar, it's full almost. I got one more switch left.
Yeah.
So do I put a secondary 6 switch in and only have to use 2 of those switches? Do I have a lot of questions I need to figure out for wiring? And I am terrible
You know what's
wiring.
Awesome? It just hit me. We have a whole list of listeners right now. So tell us, what do you recommend? If you're listening, what do you recommend for wiring solutions?
Especially for like a external fuse box, a secondary fuse box, so I can stop having all my powers go right to the battery.
Yeah.
You know?
So comment, message.
Send us stuff.
Let us know. Yeah, send us stuff. Your feedback.
Send us. So I'm looking
that
at,
works too.
I've been looking at the S-Pod, the Spod, the trigger. I've been looking at painless wiring stuff. I've been looking at...
There's a lot. And then it's like, you know, you could do it yourself. And it's not super hard to do. I've kind of done it. But it's not as convenient.
If you've seen my wiring, you would know why I'm looking at wiring stuff.
I'm aware.
Yeah, this is
not that mine's much better.
That goes to his last question, DIY or pro?
That's a pro one.
I don't like to wire stuff.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I'm bad at it. I can't solder. It's just a thing. I'd much rather pay somebody.
I always chintz out. Like, I could do it. I always could do it so much better. Like, my own stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just do it. I'll just do it better next time. You know? So, like, underneath the hood of the ZJ, there's, some of the lights and stuff. It looks like it was done in high school.
Well, you remember the compressor in the JK. I threw it where I threw it until the trip was over.
Yeah.
It's still there.
I know. We need to come up with a solution for that.
So.
We need to mount your compressor, do some electrical. So, recommendations for that? We're open. Send us a message. Listen now.
I think we're getting into the ADD zone at this point of the podcast.
Where we just rambled?
And we're getting a little past about that 35-minute mark seems to be where like our bread and butter.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're past that for sure. We're about probably 40. Yeah. 45 minutes. For me, and this is actually, I just want to touch on this. Unfortunately, I found that the ZJ sadly has developed a serious case of full body cancer. Basically. So where it goes from here, I don't know. I'm probably as if I myself got that diagnosis, like we're just gonna run it. See what happens. Let's take it to the end and you know, maybe the spare parts can be used in another chassis.
Right.
But until then, you know, we're gonna give her hell. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of years.
So what are your regrets in the ZJ? Got your regrets? I mean, I know you bought that with some bill
too. It was a lot already done-ish, not really. It was like an incomplete, fell apart, you know. So all the components were there. They were just on the back seat.
Did you regret buying somebody else's project?
Yes, basically. And it was one of those where I didn't... It was kind of a trade deal, so it wasn't exactly what I was looking for. I don't regret going ZJ, because, you know, it's kind of... It's nice to be different, but then it sucks to be different.
Especially, but you're different to the extreme.
Yeah, I went full out.
Yeah. 37s and tons on a ZJ with four light bars on.
Well, if I was like, if it's going to be extreme, I'm going to be like, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
Which, I would have... It's one of those, I should have done something different with the suspension.
Okay.
I would like to... Oh, my God, I forget their name, and I don't want to screw it up. There's a company out there. I want to say Iron Man, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you talk about Iron Man Fab a lot.
Maybe? Is that them? God, I forget. I don't want to screw it up, but they make an awesome system. It's like full skid plate. And it does, it's almost like a long arm, but it's like four link, front and back. It's an awesome system. I would have probably should have invested in something like that. Because that's what I don't have now, is I don't have really good underbody protection.
Right.
So, it catches you out. You know, you want to hang up on a rock and rip your transfer case apart or something. And my rear suspension, it flexes good, but it's pretty worn out. I need to look at... probably contacting Barnes and doing like I did to the front, ordering up some new joints and some rod ends and all that stuff, and just
getting to work,
going to work. But that now, you know what? That's the problem now. Is now it's got the cancer,
right?
So I don't know if I want to put that much into it. You know, like, do I put another? And it wouldn't be much because I'm just replacing the arms that are already there.
Right.
So probably, I would estimate $500 to $700.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time I'm done, but
which
it's
cheaper than a new rig.
Still cheaper than a new rig, that's for sure. But then it's like, oh, I don't really like the suspension as it is.
Right.
You know, because it still has the rear track bar. Right. It's not like triangulated rear. Ugh. So, and that's the thing. It's like, well, do I just triangulate it? But then I got to change my brackets, and it's like, again, it's got the cancer. So I don't know. We'll see. I might just run it till it breaks.
That works too.
It makes a little bit of a clunk, but meh.
Whatever.
There's three more pieces connecting it.
My JK clunked today on the way here, so I'm not sure what the deal is.
Come on, we just fixed it, my man. Killing me. It's probably like a jam nut maybe it came loose.
Could be.
Maybe. I think that pretty much takes care of all of Andrew's questions. Again, we really appreciate that, except for ORV etiquette. But we're going to address that. That gets deep. And tips for newbie. We'll get there. But
so that
anyway,
tips for newbie and ORV etiquette can tie into each other pretty well.
Yes, that's its own episode.
New people about how to properly...
We can kind of find like a DNR officer.
Alright.
Now we're really stretching it.
I probably know one.
Probably. We could probably find one.
I mean, I could find one right now. Let's go wheeling.
Right. We just take the mic stand and be like, hey, after you're done writing this ticket, you got like 30 minutes. We'd like to talk to you about what we did to get us in this situation.
Waiting for the tow truck.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with that, that'll wrap it up. I guess just to reiterate, check out Ken at drdeathwobble.com. He's got his own website. You can buy some sweet swag.
Yep.
But on Instagram, follow him. He's going to be in SEMA. Check out those builds.
Steer Smarts.
The Inlander's looking pretty rad. Right. Check that out. If you're in SEMA, snag a picture of our picture or of our sticker and send it to us, and maybe we will reward you. Otherwise, if you have the ability to like, comment on whatever platform you're listening to us on, please, like, share, and, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1. All right, yeah.
Hey, if you're going to tell us we stink, tell us why.
You better tell us why. Otherwise, we'll find you. So, with that, we are out. Thanks again. Love the support from all everyone. Love the comments. Love everything. I can't say it enough.
Hope everybody had a great Halloween.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks again for birthday wishes. That's the other thing I want to take. Thank you to Mrs. Von Tunswap. She apparently ordered a special license plate for the one-ton swapped ZJ.
Okay.
So I've yet to see what it actually is, but it's better than what's on there because I'm not going to give you all the license plate, but currently it's DNF, which we all know what that stands for in the race world. Finished. So I'm happy with that. I don't know what it is yet, and I'm not telling you because then you'll stalk me or something, and that would be great. So with that...
You're such a rambler.
Thanks again, and until next time.
Good night, everybody.